All right, spirit-led, relationship with God, with self, and with others. All right, so one time, many years ago, when I was going to seminary, I had to go to San Diego, which is an unfamiliar city for me to be driving in. And so when I got on the flight, I realized that I left my cell phone in my daughter's car. Right? And I was a little bit having a freak out moment because, I mean, I had to get a rental car and drive around to get to the seminary, and oh my goodness, and I'm horrible with directions, so maps aren't going to be helpful. So anyway, I get there, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And I get to my Airbnb, and it just so happened that the owner of the Airbnb is a Christian. On fire, born again believer. And so she offered me her phone until my daughter FedExed me mine. So for a full day, I was using someone else's phone. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All of the above. Thank you. So I'm on my way to seminary, and I've got my phone like, I'm glued, okay, because it's unfamiliar territory. And so I get on the freeway. This is California, y'all. California freeway. Okay, nerves, right? Panic. I'm not kidding. Panic. And I'm like, oh my gosh, wait, what street? What? Ooh, they're a little close. Oh my, this is fast. What the? I mean, distractions everywhere. I was so grateful to have that navigator, and even with that in my hand, even with it telling me, take the next right. Which right? And so, like, I missed the exit a couple of times. And it just rerouted me and kept me going on my way. There was a destination. I needed to get to the seminary, to get to my class. That was the destination. All along the way, I was anxious. I mean, there were distractions. I definitely was kind of nervous that I didn't have the charger to the phone because, you know, on my way home, then it would die. So lots of things going on. My point is, you probably, some of you picking up what I'm putting down right now. We each have our own navigation system. That is the Holy Spirit. So some of us don't turn them on ever. Some of us don't charge them. Some of us get distracted. And sometimes the navigation is playing in the background and we're not paying attention because a good song comes on or something happens. All right. I want to talk for a second about the functions of the Holy Spirit. This is not an extensive list. This is just what the Holy Spirit was putting on my heart to talk about. So in John 16:13, we're told, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. John 16:5-7, but I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. And you must also testify about me because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry. So, highlighted word, truth. We know as a navigation system that God's word is the truth. And if we don't have that little compass, we are going to get turned around. Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. He's a guide. 2 Corinthians 1:3. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others when they are troubled. We will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. So the idea of being a comfort is definitely a personal benefit, but it just doesn't stop with us. Then it's for our community, for our families, for our relationships. It begins here within me, and then I'm not going to hoard it. I'm going to give it. Three signs of the Spirit. So this came to me, and it's a little bit different than the fruit of the Spirit, but I'll talk about that too. But three signs that the Holy Spirit, you're being led by the Holy Spirit. One is in terms of our relationship with God. One is in terms of our relationship with self. And one is in terms of our relationship with others. And it goes back to the great command. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. That addresses this, and it addresses this. And then it addresses this. There's wholeness and fullness when we're being led by the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, so the fruit of the Spirit is truth and love. And I'm going to have to step up here a little bit because I was relying on my slides and I can't see. All right. Okay, so now we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 7. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And I just want to say, if you've been striving for this and you keep beating yourself up because you're missing the mark, quick reminder, we're not Holy Ghost Junior. We're not Jesus. We didn't live a perfect lives ever. Nobody did but Jesus. However, if we have the conviction that we're missing the mark, it's a conviction, not a condemnation. It's based on that perfect love from the Father. This represents Jesus. This represents what we get to receive. We get to receive that perfect love. So when we go out into the world, or when we're interacting with a spouse or a family member and we miss the mark, we get to come right back to that place of love, receive the forgiveness because we're repentant, and go back and try again. We just get to keep practicing love. This is being led by the Holy Spirit. Okay, Philippians chapter 2. Verses 1 through 4. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And here we go again. Here's one person that the Spirit is leading and delivering. And then it's going to impact our body because we're all one and we need each other. And then it's going to impact the world. Okay, so we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, and lots of people do know that. I don't know that so many people know what it means to be walking in the flesh. Because remember, there's this whole war going on for your soul. And so you're either being influenced by the Spirit of God, or you're being influenced by the enemy, your enemy, which is Satan. So let's take a look at what we don't want to do. So that if we find ourselves in here somewhere, the Holy Spirit can convict our hearts gently with love, and we can repent. So Galatians 5:19 through 21, the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. I want to also kind of highlight that that behavior is indicative of a hardened heart. Those are behaviors that are practiced. They are fully manifestations of the sins that begin in the heart. It's not like, you know, as we're on our walk with the Lord and we have an anger outburst, that all of a sudden we're going to hell, because that's not what this is talking about. But if we're practicing a lifestyle of selfishness, controlling people, and all of the other things listed up there, we got to wonder, wow, I thought I was a Christian. What is going on in my heart? Because I'm actually practicing hell. Okay, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 20 and 21. And this is Paul talking. For I fear lest when I come to the church, I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish, lest there be contentions and jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, tumults, lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not repented of the uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness which they have practiced. Oh boy, here's the practical application that is so small when I typed it. So as I receive the Spirit of God, and my focus to seek Him and abide in Him is part of my journey. It's the focal point of my journey. It's remaining in relationship with Him. It's being ever aware of Him, always considering and meditating in Him, on Him. That is His essence, His voice, and His character. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Nothing good, nothing pure, nothing loving. So apart from him, the practical application here is, have I sought him today? Did I take a look at him today as I'm driving? Oh shoot, did I forget to charge it? Am I distracted by all these other things? Is his voice in the background, but I'm listening to music? Like the top 10? Second, get rid of the distractions. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Now, I think in this passage, the heart is referring to that intersection between the spirit and the flesh that we call the soul, the mind, the intellect, the will, and the emotions. Man, that's a lot of work to be done in me. I don't know about you guys. I'm not going to say I don't care, because I do, but I'm just saying, like, for me, there's a lot of work to be done in my soul. If I seek him with all of me, with my mind, what am I watching? What am I listening to? What am I reading? What am I following on all the social media? If I seek him with all of my strength, all of my might, I'm just going to say I miss the mark most days. Most days. Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. So just take a real quick second. What's the first thing that pops in your mind in terms of what you desire? And for me, when I did this little experiment with myself, I was really convicted. Because some of the things that I desire have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. They have everything to do with self-preservation. And in Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, since then you've become raised with Christ, born again, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. I love, love, love that song that Peter wrote. The very first time I heard it, I was like weeping. Because that is the desire of my heart deeply. And we miss the mark, so we're on a journey. So the opposite of love, this is like so, when I found this out, when I like became aware of this concept, it you guys probably all already know this, so just bear with me, but it was earth shattering. The opposite of love isn't even hate. Yeah. What? It's self-preservation. It's selfishness. It's self as the center. Self-seeking. So I'm a therapist by trade. And when I'm meeting with people, I hear a lot of phrases that I'm just kind of like, oh man, that is not going to be helpful. Some of those phrases are things like, well, I need to make myself happy. I got to be happy first. If I don't make myself happy, I'm not going to be able to make anyone else happy. Or, if it feels good, do it. And some Christians actually think that's being led by the Holy Spirit. And I'm not judging them, but I'm just like, whoa, that is so dangerous and so slippery. So this is my thought. Seeing God's word through politics or social norms, rather than seeing politics and social norms through the filter of God's word, is really dangerous. And I'm not saying that we don't promote social justice, because that's a part of what we are here for, is to, promote justice. But when we see God's word through our social environment, I mean, that is just really dangerous. When we see God's word through our own pain, we can misinterpret. Okay, so I'm no longer filtering through life as a woman or a therapist or a shorty or if you're tall, or brown or white or whatever other things that we identify ourselves with. I mean, yeah, of course, we're in a vessel and we're created uniquely for the world around us, but I'm not living my life as this is my identity. My identity now is, for me, I am a princess of the Most High God. I am a warrior. I am a fighter for goodness and righteousness and freedom and love. And I do so humbly, with humility. I am victorious. I'm a victorious vessel of love and of truth. Because this is a little side note, you really can't have love without truth. That is just not, that's toxic. Okay, so the implication of being spirit-led is death of the old self. I say this term often. I'll be like, die to yourself. I gotta die to myself. Like it's no biggie. But the last time I checked, with people or history or things like that, like death hurts. You know, it's a big deal, because if anybody were to get like diagnosed with some kind of life-threatening disease or illness, all of a sudden there's anxiety and, oh my gosh, how do I save myself? That's the flesh, you know, self-preservation is from the flesh. It's in our brains. It's literally in our brain to fight or to run when the hardships come. John 12:24, Jesus is talking to the disciples. This is after they shared the last meal. And he's saying, I'm going to tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. This is what our Lord and Savior, this is how he lived his entire life. He lived his entire life to die. And again, I'm just only talking about my own experience. The moment something uncomfortable comes up in my life, I am all about creating comfort. I am all about using my resources to make myself comfortable. I get in my car, I push a button, my seat goes right back to where it's the most comfortable. I have a little robot mop. I get on my phone, goes around so that I can be comfortable. There's so many things that I do just to make my life comfortable, but not Jesus. Galatians 5:24, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh, crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. This is really a painful death, crucifixion. I mean, I've never done it before, thank you, Jesus. But, as I read it, when I read what Jesus went through and I have watched The Passion of the Christ several times, you know, I'm like, I can't even imagine that. I would be in that garden and I would be like, look, Dad, I know this was the plan, but I got to go. Because I'm human. And my brain is a human brain, and I need to save my life, but not Jesus. Galatians 5:24, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Okay, so look, what was the scripture that we opened up with? Galatians. Yeah, and nobody knew that. Whoever put that up there, nobody knew what I was talking about today. I didn't send this to anybody. That's the Holy Spirit. Luke 9:23, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Okay, so dying doesn't feel good. Conquering personal sin. This is another implication that I am being led by the Holy Spirit. I'm walking and practicing a life of the Spirit of God. So it's an ever-changing heart. An ever-changing life. Old patterns of thinking, old patterns of behaving become unacceptable to your new self as a result of the truth of the Holy Spirit. As we're reading God's word and it's being planted in our hearts, if our hearts are fertile, if they're not stony, if they're not, you know, the whole parable of all of the different types of ground that the seed falls on, that's a whole nother thing. But when I'm being Spirit-led, I'm changing. And I'm not, I might fake it till I make it at first. I might do the opposite action just out of obedience. And my heart might not really be in it. But I'm doing it out of obedience. And when I do that out of obedience, my heart will follow. My heart begins to change. It's amazing. We're told to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, right? So sometimes addictions, I'm going to just throw up addictions because everybody has them, even if you don't know it, even if it's socially accepted, even if it's internal like anxiety or worry, everyone has them. So sometimes addictions can cease instantly, miraculously,
by the power of the Holy Spirit. Freedom from bondage, like what? Healing, that is instant healing. Man, that is so good. But if you're like me, I'm kind of hard-headed. And sometimes I just want to keep holding on to that security blanket. Sometimes it takes a little bit more time. So most of the time, our behaviors change because we're choosing to submit one step at a time. You know, so there's a difference between, whoa, I have been completely set free. The chains are gone. I don't even have a desire for that. What in the world? Whew, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for those moments, right? But, I mean, I'm a therapist, again, and I do see, and even in my own life and my own thinking, we're not always that cooperative, or we're not always that blessed for that particular experience, I guess. I don't know, but what I know is that if we apply God's word one step at a time consistently, just, you know what, just today, yeah. One step. Now look back at my navigator here, and it's charging. It's plugged in. I've done my worship. I mean, I am full of joy of the Holy Spirit. The joy of the Lord is my strength, and I take another step. Oh, that's one more day. That's one more day that I did this. And this feels good, and this is way healthier, and wow, I can do this. And so it's one step at a time. And we do that because we love him. Because we, all of a sudden now, I love him and his will and his guidance and his direction and his purposes for my life more than the thing that I've been shackled to. Amen. So Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Or my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his purpose. And just real quick, that term fear in the Greek, in the original language, it doesn't mean like I'm so afraid and like I'm forced. It's a freedom, it's a liberating reverence and humility. Because if I'm not humble, I'm proud. And if the Lord is convicting me of something and I'm proud, I'm not gonna repent, I'm gonna justify. I'm not gonna partner, cooperate, submit with the work that the Holy Spirit's putting in me. I'm going to resist and I've never seen that work out very well, but okay, so reverence and humility, we already talked about that, and then God's Spirit reveals truth that challenges our flesh, the old nature, and it reveals his character, touching our hearts with conviction to change, not in fear, but in love. Our changed lives are beneficial to us and also to the world around us. So this leads us to, so far we've got, we know that we're kind of consistently practicing walking in the Spirit of God when our hearts are changed and we're changing. We know, the first one is when we have complete joy in the Lord. We have complete joy in the Lord. We're filled up. Everything in the world is great. I don't care what the circumstances are. I'm good. What? We had an earthquake and my whole house fell down? I'm good. Like, and the second thing is that our hearts are being changed. And then the third one has to do with all those around us, the body, and then the world around us. And so our salvation and sanctification is not just for our own benefit, even though we do benefit. Matthew 5:15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Hold the boat, wait a minute. Man, if anybody walked in here today feeling low, if anybody walked in here today feeling like a failure, if anyone walked in here today feeling just like so condemning of yourself, or in any way, shape, or form, just icky. about who you were.
You're a light.
If you've received Jesus Christ into your heart and you have repented and died to your old self, you're now new again. You're a new creation, brand new, and you're a light. I mean, you are the light of God, the salt of the earth. Salt is some good stuff, man. That's a whole nother, you know, I mean, salt is salty. It is good. It brings out flavor. It preserves things. That's who we are. I mean, this is talking about you, your identity. That is so exciting. When our hearts and behaviors change, one of the results is healthier relationships. This is reconciliations, forgiveness, earning trust. It's so cool to understand that the people in your life feel secure with you. They feel safe with you. They can come to you as they are, and you're not going to judge them as any worse off than you. Now, you know, you might be able to, the Spirit of God may say, oh, like sometimes this happens to me where I'll meet somebody and just automatically, woof, in my spirit, I know what their struggle is. But it's not for us to judge that, like, you know, because I've got my own stuff too. But it is to encourage, and it is to walk alongside with love. Because, look, if you are my sister or my brother in the Lord, I mean, it's not just about me. I want to see everybody, including myself, come to the fullness of the purpose for which God has created us. And so, you're a light. Keep doing that. How do I do that? We're almost done here. Okay. And so when we're filled and led by the Spirit, we become the hands and feet for others, the hands and feet of God, for others who may be lost or despondent. So we volunteer services, finances, time, prayer, and our gifts for the edification of the body. But listen, if we're doing all these things, but it's not because we're motivated by love, there's probably something else going on motivating that, because that's some tiring stuff. Work is hard. And so if it's because you're in self-preservation mode, I don't know that it's going to be as powerful. Like, some people will go and do things and volunteer and be busy in order to be accepted, because they just don't know how valuable, how lovable, who they are, you know, in Him. And so if that's you, I mean, you might want to rethink this, really rethink who you are, because the purpose of doing these things is because we're passionate about people. We want to be the outreach to love. When we're led by the Holy Spirit, we have more willingness to die to our selfishness, and that impacts every single person around us. Okay, so a real quick testimony. I'm in my second life. And my first life, I was married, and I had three kids. And I experienced a lot of adversities, and everything about my life was survival. Everything. I faced homelessness. I faced all kinds of things. And it wasn't until, and you know, I found the Lord when I was a child, like 9 or 10. And what that meant to me was that Jesus loved me. That's where I started my journey. Jesus loves me. I'm important to Him. Wow. And then I kept living my life like I didn't know Him, because I really didn't know His character, until I faced a lot of adversities and I didn't know where to go. So I went to church. And when I went to church, I got filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And I don't mean when I got saved, I got filled. Yes, I did that. But when I started going to church and the saints began to pray for me, oh my goodness, I am not kidding you. That experience, it's a filling of the joy of the Lord. No matter the circumstances, no matter if there was any place for me to go live, no matter if I was under the bondage of an abusive husband, no matter what, I was just full of God's love and light. And after that point, I just started taking the one step at a time. You know, oh, you know what? All I know right now is just go to church. Okay. Every Sunday, go to church. And every Sunday I would get filled up. And then I would leave that church. I am not kidding. And the enemy would hit me so hard on every side. So I decided, I'm going to turn on some Christian music then. And so I would listen to God's word through song because I love music, and it would fill me up. And then as soon as we get home, you know, I got 3 kids. I'm a single mom at this point, and it would hit. It just fill in the blank. Whatever could hit, it hit. And so then I was like, okay, well, I'm going to church on Friday night too. Now what? So I go to church on Friday, go to church on Sunday. My kids were like so fed up with me. Playing my Jesus music. And it's the moment I unplugged, I'm hit again. And I'm talking about some stuff, you guys. It could be a movie. And somehow the Holy Spirit like led me to believe and understand, well, when you're getting hit, plug in. Because pick up your sword. Put on the armor. We're not here to be comfortable, sister. That's what the Holy Spirit would like say to me. And I'd be like, okay, right. And then I'd go use my resources, get connected to the body. And so that's kind of how I'm standing up here as a testimony, not because I went to seminary or because I'm a therapist, because none of that matters. Standing up here because I've experienced the loving truth of a Savior and the power to change my life and the lives of others. I am tight with all 3 of my kids. I got my granddaughter sitting right here. I have 16 grandkids, but you know, I've got an amazing husband who is loving and kind, who reads God's word to me. If I'm feeling down, he's praying over me. If I'm depressed, he'll turn on like some gospel music and it's all over, man, in my house. And so, I mean, change, it is healing, it is powerful, and it is absolutely we can have it. We have access to it, every one of us, one step at a time. Okay, so right now, if Carter, do you wanna play that song for me? But so right now I just want to take like 1 minute. Can you turn the lights down in the house a little bit? I just want to take a minute because there's so many of us in here, right? And we're all at different spots in our journey. And so I just want us each to be able to take a moment and think about, allow, kind of do a spirit scan. Allow your heart and your mind to connect to God in a way where we're asking him, okay, where am I? Am I that person who needs to be filled with the joy that only you can give me? And if so, if you are on the prayer and altar team, if you want to come up just in case anyone needs prayer, then if you need prayer because you want to be filled with that kind of power, then we have people up here right now. If you're doing a spirit scan and you're like, it's been stopping with me. I haven't really been changing things. And I know you're speaking to me, Holy Spirit. I know you are, and I've been grieving you, and I'm so sorry. Then maybe that's where your prayer can be. And if you are in the process of change and practicing righteousness and all of that, then if anyone comes to your mind, any of your family members, any of your community, then say a prayer for them. And we'll just take 2 minutes or however long you need, but 2 minutes, and then you can go.